For a lot of women, midlife has been about reinvention and exploring our identity and our experience and who we've been, what we've built, and aligning it with where we are today and learning more about who we are at this age in these bodies and with this mindset about what we want to bring to life. For me, some of that is how we got to having Surfing the Quicksand. And my guest today is someone who is going through her own shift and review and creating something I could never even aspire to build. Rihanna Avoy is coming on to talk about her latest project after a lifetime in the creative arts. And she's building something that I'm definitely interested in, and I think you might be too. Welcome to Surfing the Quicksand. I'm your host, Kathy Bynes. When I got started with Surfing the Quicksand, it was because I kind of felt a bit of a calling. I knew I was doing a lot of different things in a lot of different spaces, but more and more they were coming together for me in a singular voice around wanting to bring something that lightens lives for midlife women, perimenopause and menopausal women, people in their 40s and 50s who felt stuck and wanted to get unstuck. I felt like everything I was doing with my talents and my skills and my businesses and my abilities all kept circling around this same point. And so for me, the idea of putting that time and attention and talent and other resources into creating Surfing the Quicksand got extremely motivating for me. And I'm thrilled that I've been on this journey for as many months as I have. And today I'm introducing you to someone who's very similarly motivated to bring her own talents and abilities and long experience to the midlife and perimenopausal journey for women to bring new light into their lives. My guest today is Rihanna Avoy, and she is Canadian, living in Los Angeles, bringing a life of branding and working with CEOs and executives and businesses into a very personal journey for her and maybe for the rest of you. Welcome, Rihanna.
Oh, thank you so much. What a beautiful introduction, Kathy. Happy to be here.
Well, you and I met some time ago and just really both enjoyed our kind of electric conversation about how much we've had in common, despite having very different paths professionally, but similarly dealing with things like burnout and dealing with shifts and trying to constantly maybe redefine who we are and what we do and who we do it for. So I want to start there and get to know you a little better for our audience. Tell us about some of especially your professional journey, and then we'll move into your personal journey.
Amazing. Well, there's so much to start with. I am a creative director in branding and content, and it wasn't always that case. I worked in editorial for a very long time. So I worked with magazines in Canada. Magazines weren't always the most lucrative at some point. We'll get to more about that soon. And brands decided to work with me because I could do storytelling and I could work with photographers and videographers and create worlds for brands. And that ended up becoming my job, my whole ethos. And I started a studio on my own back in, I think, like 2017. But I did that as a result of burnout. Working with companies and constantly trying to be the source of inspiration, and the output was quite heavy. And although it was really awesome, and I was spending a lot of time in New York City and flying around to Berlin and doing photo shoots in London, I got really tired. And I decided that I wanted to start to do my own thing. So I created a studio with one of my best buds in Montreal and called Super Bonjour. And that was a really beautiful way to start something new and start something for myself. But the interesting thing is that burnout sort of just never leaves. Even if you're working for yourself and you think that you can overcome that, you really have to start to look at yourself and your own practices and how you want to change processes and the way you work with clients. And I think that was an interesting little nugget or a lesson for me that I actually had to take care of myself in big ways as well, being my own boss, which was fascinating and also a ton of learning from that as well. But I think the interesting part of it all was it actually changed the way I worked with clients too. So having that knowledge and having that need to slow down and have a almost regulated nervous system while going into these big brands and trying to help them, I think also helped me help them. So my process changed in a lot of ways because of it. I started to work with clients differently. I started to see them more authentically and see myself and my process in a different light. And it sort of changed the way in which I worked. I think it also attracted a certain client in a certain way to work as well. So it's been a really long journey. That's just like a very short Coles Note version of it. But I would say that having that perspective, I think, has been actually quite beneficial in helping clients and brands do better work or actually to connect to customers or audiences in more empathetic ways. And I think it was actually like that crazy period of my time where it was very, very intense, and the slowing down actually made me see how I work and how I work with clients differently. Long story.
I think when things are really chaotic and we don't feel in control of the factors around us and the output we're required to do, the clients that are coming our way, maybe not be what we select for us, it can be so tempting, and not in a bad way, but tempting to say, what's broken here? What can I fix? What can I try differently? And we try different things, and maybe we get temporary relief just from change or novelty or attention. And then time goes on, and you're like, oh, wait, I'm back where I was.
Yes, exactly. And it's also this weird thing where it ended up becoming more of a coping mechanism. Like, I brought meditation into my life, I brought breathwork into my life to try to alleviate some of the challenges I was facing at work. And that became a way to almost disassociate or to find groundingness in my life. And it was a way to cope. But the irony of it all is that after spending more time meditating and more time actually slowing down, the coping didn't happen. It ended up becoming change. So the slowing down was like, at first, just like, I need some space. This is very stressful. How do I like get that back? How do I get that vitality back? And eventually it led to, oh, I need to change in order to actually have the vitality. It's not just about this like 5 minute period. It actually changed, I think, the way that my brain was wired in order to change how I worked and change how I work with clients, or even my relationship to branding, content, and work and creative direction and being more intentional. And I think my work got better as a result. So what started off as this like crazy coping mechanism, which was great, turned into a change agent, which was even better. So that was the special sauce of the meditation that I don't think people maybe think about, or maybe they do when they start to practice it in bigger ways. But at first, it was just like it never really fixed itself. It just kept being like a way to like cope, to go back into the crazy. And now it seems like my life is a lot more stable as a result of being slow.
It's really interesting, right? I'm not somebody who meditates or has a meditation practice. I've learned a lot about it and experienced workshops and things like that, but it's never been something where I'm like, oh, I feel drawn to create space for this. But I expect lots of people bring it in as a, I'm stressed, I need to handle my stress better, or I need to take breaks. Things like, oh, I hear this might help, let me try it. But I hear what you're saying is just introducing meditation isn't necessarily directly going to impact what's at the foundation. That's a problem.
No, not at all. It would just, I mean, at first it just seemed like a way, again, just to regulate my nervous system, but it was that regulated nervous system that allowed me to approach life differently because now I wasn't being as reactive. And the interesting thing was is that if I could bring that practice to work and work with clients, and not every client's going to want this, but sometimes they noticed that I was very chill and I'm not chill. It's not true. But it did help people go, oh my gosh, if I do it this way as well, I might actually come to market with a better product that I didn't think about, or I'm going to brand and speak to an audience that is more real and more connective. So it started to even change that perspective, like who I was working with and how I worked started to change as well. So it
Can you
wasn't
give
like I
an
was plugging into things that were like so heavily commercialized. It started to become a little bit more personal.
example, like bring this to life a little bit about a kind of a way that you changed how you worked with clients?
Totally. It's interesting. As a creative director, I spent most of my career doing making content. It was more about like, here's a beautiful model, here's a cool location. We're going to create a campaign for X product. And at one point, I started to work with other agencies. So I would gain a lot more interest and insight through like brand strategists, for example, who were doing different processes to understand brands through like values and missions and their core audience. And it was very heavily data driven. It felt like it was still void of any real empathetic foundation, I guess. So I was like, this is interesting. Like, this does get you to a certain place, but it didn't get you to the depth that I think was needed in branding and content to actually connect to customers. So I looked at all these processes and I was like, this is super cool. And it's highly data and it's very like void of any real like emotional intelligence, I suppose is what you could say. So I changed everything. I was like, I just want to do that. I want to like find like the nugget, the depth of what you could do with a brand. And so I actually built this whole a whole bunch of different workshops. I called it brand therapy. I call it brand therapy, and I started to work with clients on this other level, what was way more empathy based. And although I didn't have the data or like the demographics that maybe other people were used to, I was able to really find what made people tick and what they cared about and how they could feel. And it ended up creating more connecting work, and sales went up. So that was also very interesting. You could do it in different lanes, and maybe there's this beautiful combination where those two worlds meet. But I was finding that my process started to change, and it was very therapeutic. Sometimes even with like personal branding, like say a person who's like, I'm my own person, I'm a PR in PR and I have my own company, or I'm anything that was like maybe more of a personal brand, I would work with founders and they would start to see themselves in their truer light and realize that they were like, I was just like showing their mirror up to them, being like, this is what you look like. Did you know? And people would be like, I didn't know I looked that beautiful. I'm like, you're gorgeous. And then putting it out there for them and feeling seen was just sort of a bit of the process itself. Or customers or clients or audiences, and maybe they weren't connecting and they're thinking more about themselves as a founder. Like, I want to connect to this human, but they're really thinking about themselves and not actually what that human wanted to see and connect with. So working through those processes was really helpful for brands to actually feel like they were talking to the right person. And it wasn't just like, well, I like this specific aesthetic. You're like, well, maybe, but like, what does this person care about? And then bringing that lens into the work created more of this emotional connection that I think was needed for them to feel that their services or their products could be seen in a different light. So I guess through like understanding it from a different lens and seeing how it could be done and then changing it, flipping it on its head and coming up with new ways and processes was part of my process. And that was again the slowing down. It actually happened during COVID, too. We had so much time. I was very, very much had lots of time. And that's when I thought about all this stuff. And so it's been really cool to see brands and companies I've worked with really feel seen and also like seeing that their work and their services are getting the traction that they need as well. And it was beautiful.
I find it relatable what you're talking about in terms of the work that I do in my career coaching and resume writing business, where I do a
Great.
lot of work with people on their personal brand. And when you're able to bring different ears and different lens to somebody's story and say, hey, I hear you using this language.
That's right.
This is actually what I'm hearing. Does that feel right to you? And just reflecting back, again, slowing down for them and giving
Sure.
them kind of an audience and a forum that they've never had before. And somebody just focused on, let's figure out what's most important here and find a way for you to tell your story so that the people you hope are interested in someone like you really gets to that essence very
That's right.
quickly, right? Their service is, hi, I'm trying to market myself as your next employee, right?
Exactly.
Being able to do that. And for so many people, they're saying, I've never thought this way about myself before. I've never sat and intentionally spent an hour to go through language and storytelling and really coming up with something that feels so very much authentic to who I've always been, right? But I
Right.
tell people the story that we figure out about your brand at 50 is the same story we could have told you about when you were 5 in
Right.
kindergarten, that
Yes.
you are.
Yes, it is. It is really about that. And I think that that's so special because, in a lot of ways, you're basically aligning to your. This is it's like how you feel the best. It's like how you see yourself as the truest reflection of yourself or brand or company or whatever it is, and actually putting it out there. And it's also interesting too, because I think in my industry, especially in like creative direction or art direction or design, I think there's a lot of like what I see, and maybe people just being like not as deep in terms of I can make anything look good. And there's lots of trends out there, and there's lots of ways in which that this could be considered. And although I still want things to look amazing, in a lot of cases, it's a combination of the person I'm working with or the company I'm working with, and then my level of taste, but then not putting such a heavy lens on it so that that person that can actually like be seen in a way that they had not imagined. Like the possibilities are a lot more shinier, I'd like to say, because I'm able to like kind of go, oh, I see it's right over here. And if we mix it with this cool shit and we mix it with your cool shit, it looks really great. And I think that's the secret sauce too. It's like being almost like a producer as opposed to like a music producer, as opposed to like I'm like the author. Like it's not just me, it takes the other person's input too. So I think a lot of people are very heavy-handed when it comes to design and art direction, that they have a point of view, which I do have, but also I want to respect the other entity that I'm working with to make sure that there's a more harmonious way in which to work.
So it sounds like for many of our clients, it may be a fresh way of working with an external partner.
That's
And
right.
like you said, some of them may not be their style, they're not leaning into it. And some of them are like, oh, this feels different. And dot, 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 we generated better results.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was like it's just a really interesting way to work. And I think it's been, I can't go back. There's no going back anymore. This is it. And I think it's a different way. I mean, maybe I'm sure there are other folks that do what I do as well, but I wasn't experiencing it when I was trying to figure out where I was in this place and how do I like contribute. And I think it's made me a little bit unique. So
Unique
that's
is good. Unique is good.
exciting.
Okay,
Yeah.
so since I know some of your story, I'm going to lead a little
That's
bit.
right.
It's pandemic. You're reframing how you're working with people, what you're working on, and kind of, you've been working on meditation, you've been working on other things, and then perimenopause, like rings the doorbell with like a rocket. So what can you walk us through in terms of that chapter for you?
Yield perimenopause. Now that one was, I'm in it, deep in it right now. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I had no idea what was going on and how long I maybe had been in it. Perimenopause was like an extraordinarily loud wake-up call for me that was even more louder than the burnout could possibly be. And it really amplified a lot of the ways in which I might not have been taking care of myself in my 20s and 30s and 40s. And it manifested in some very difficult symptoms. It really knocks me down. Like, I laugh at it now because I'm on HRTs, hormone replacement therapy, and I feel normal again, but I was not normal. It hit me through so many emotional, oh my gosh, like I was in very intense anxiety. I had very intense anxiety. I had depression. There was rage. The rage was even chill. I would have loved to have just had rage. I wish there was a lot of no's, a lot of like back off, but ultimately, it was through a lot of anxiety, truthfully, and it kind of put me on pause. I was on big time pause, and it was almost like I had to go through another burnout in a weird way. Like it put everything on display to be like, look at all the things that you need to deal with now in order for you to feel empowered and like move on to your next phase in life. It felt like I was a teenager again. Like this is another, what is it when you're a kid and you go through all this puberty? See, in perimenopause, you get brain fog. You can't even remember words. It's such a wild experience. But that experience was discombobulating. It was very strange. I didn't know anything about it. There was no communication around it. Like I didn't have much to go by through grandparents, grandma, moms. Friends, it was like, what is going on? Like, I just feel like a completely like a different human being. And finding the right doctors was super key, and getting on some hormones was super key because I don't know if I could have survived this experience. But what happened was it actually brought forward a lot of things that I needed to actually heal or deal with or look at. And it spawned a whole, cathartic art project, if you would, from it. So my roots are editorial. I spent so many years studying it, loving it, creating magazines through my 20s, working for magazines in my 30s, to actually create another magazine in my late 40s about the experience of midlife through a more of an emotional lens, not a medical lens, but through the experience of what you go through. So some of the things that we're exploring is issues about rage, issues about sagging, issues about joy, and what we experience as women going through this through an artful lens. So it has created this entire new identity and entity that is very exciting for me. And it's like processing a lot of what I've gone through. And I feel like a lot of other women are going through and will go through. And it is very, I guess the word cathartic and inspiring and creative that I just didn't expect to experience because you kind of feel a little bit out of sorts. I felt a lot of out of sorts and like, do I have anything left to give? I have so much left to give, turns out. Like, here we go. Like, get ready, world. And it's so exciting, but perimenopause kicked my butt, and now I'm trying to get unstuck, and it is super fueling and exciting, and I feel so much more energized than I ever could. And I didn't expect this. I thought this was like the end, and it's just the beginning.
So
It's cool.
how did this idea to create a new magazine come about? Like, how did you go from I'm done with magazines to apparently I'm not done with magazines?
Not. Well, there's a beautiful analogness about it. So I think like we're going through a really like digital phase in our lives. Lots of AI is happening. It's very exciting. And I got really interested in like the maker aspect of it and going back to my roots. And then I thought about the generation I'm in. I'm a Gen X. I am a Gen X. Yes, I am. Am I Gen Z? What
No,
am
you're
I?
an ex. You're an ex.
Perimenopause is wild. Like you can't even remember my name. I don't even know what my phone number is, but
1965 to 1980 is roughly Gen X born
oh, I
years.
am definitely Gen X. I
Yeah.
am right in it. So that also, those years we grew up with a lot of analog. We grew up with zines. We grew up with tape decks. We grew up with everything that was like very hands-on. So I love the idea of going back to my roots and creating something for our generation. And I don't know, like magazines, like it's a really wild experience. It's very expensive. It's very difficult to do. It's print. Print is not cheap. Digital's fine by way less expensive. The idea of working with different photographers and creating content is very inexpensive. It's very expensive as opposed to like creating AI or anything digital. But I think that the experience needed to be done through my hands, through working with other women, working with the medium that we all love and care about. And I think that was where that came from. It just had to happen. It had to be made. And it couldn't be created through another avenue. Like, it just had to feel like I needed to work with the folks that I knew to actually build something very precious and cathartic. So analog it is. Here we go.
So it's the venture is a printed paper, hold it in my hand magazine.
Yes. It's digital first to get proof of concept that then would be printed. And then there's like a whole ecosystem around it too that we're very excited about.
So I want to talk about the ecosystem, but underneath that, I want to talk about like what is it you hope just having this magazine, having Hot Flash
Yes.
will do and bring and create for others.
Thing is I was, as a person that creates worlds and does branding, I thought about my experience and thought about how deeply inaccurate it was out there in terms of like what people were saying and how it was being presented. And I looked through a bunch of there actually are magazines about menopause, and let me tell you, it looks like the Golden Girls and like Blanche and Rose are on the cover, and I'm sorry, but it just felt like it did not represent an accurate representation of what women are going through and aging. I also think in terms of like how I'm work in branding, and I work with like cosmetic companies, I work with beauty companies, I work with fashion, and I'm ancient in that world, and women are not, seen with all their beauty and their wrinkles and the things that make them awesome. It's just not, there's just no space for it. And that was also, that feels deeply frustrating to me. I think that there is beauty in what is unedited and what is real. And it felt like a beautiful opportunity to express that period of our lives in a real way. So it kind of leads back to like when I talk about brand therapy and being authentic, it felt like inauthentic for me not to have to talk about this and not to show other women, what does it feel like during this period? Do you feel beautiful in all your iterations, whether or not you decide to get Botox or not, it's not my place to decide, but there's beauty in every choice and every way in which we want to express ourselves. So I wanted to create a space for that. And I thought that would be very important and almost like an important part of my life that I wanted to speak about and document and my experience with it. And I'm just starting. Like, this is just, I'm still a young little baby perimenopause girl. About to go into menopause, so exciting, can't wait. But it's like a real experience, and aging is a real thing. And I think there's a beauty in that. And I wanted to express it through art
It's
and photos and words.
beautiful because I like I'm listen, I'm crafty, that's great, but I am not an art brain or a vision brain. I like photography, I have a good eye, and all those things fine, but I'm not someone whose brain is all about the visual.
Oh, yeah.
So and it feels like you are. So the
Yes.
idea of saying I need to tell a visual
Yes.
story on every page is it, I think it's the kind of thing if it's somebody like me, it's gonna be like, whoa, wow, I didn't know to think like this. I didn't know to feel like this and what kind of the visual will evoke
That's right.
out of readers.
And it's more of an emotional story, I think. I think there is a lot of emotions that get bubble up during this period. And it's interesting to talk about that. I don't think people are talking about that. And representing these different types of emotions and experiences that we go through an artistic lens sort of gives us the ability to express it in any way we see fit. That gives us the agency to be whatever works. And you don't feel like you're constrained around, you don't have a constraint around it, which I think a lot of us have. Like, we have to be a certain way or buttoned up a certain way. And this period of time, in my experience, has been 0% holding back. So, which is really exciting. So, I feel like it's like anything goes when it becomes this visual expression. It's how you see it, how you see yourself, or how you see the people around you. And I think that's really exciting.
I talk on this podcast a lot about how ours is the first generation to have social media before, during, and after menopause, right? And so what it has done around, first of all, pure education, like what's going on with your body, what's good, what are your hormones doing, right? Pure education, but also how people are working through it and facing their challenges and embracing this new phase, positive stories, negative stories, all sorts of things. We are so benefiting from this exposure, as opposed to every generation before us who may have only relied on a mother or a grandmother or a sister or none of those things. I think I feel like same thing with my podcast, right? It's about people getting new voices to further awareness and excitement and humility when it's needed, and whatever that is that people are struggling with, to say, tomorrow is going to be better and it's going to be on my terms.
Yes, it's exciting. And since my move to Los Angeles, I've met so many really cool creatives in their 50s. And some feel that they're being edged out. Some feel that they're irrelevant. Some people don't feel like they're getting the jobs that they want. And that's also part of it. And I look at their work and I think, my God, you're so talented. And you're even more talented because of all the experience you've brought to the world. And I'd love to work with folks who want to express themselves and see that they are superstars in their own right. And that's another part of it too, is just, working with people that have something to say. And it's the opportunity for a community to be built in a lot of ways too, which is very exciting.
When you think of community, and I think of the same thing with surfing the quicksand, right? When you think of community for Hot Flash, or what it could be, or what it could grow into, what do you dream of?
Oh man, I wish it would be like, it'd be so nice if it was a big, big, beautiful book. First of all, from like my aesthetic point of view, like I love paper, I love magazines, but more than a magazine, I love me a book. So I could see this being some big, gorgeous, dashing type of a book with beautiful graphics, the whole shebang. But I also see it as a community piece in gathering. I think that there's wisdom in sharing. I think there's wisdom in us talking, wisdom in of us bitching about it. It's crazy. Like, what are you experiencing? Did you know this? And then taking that down to the younger generations. I wish I knew when I was 35. I could have fixed a lot of things, possibly could have been a lot smoother transition. But at the same time, that's what change is about. It kind of wallops you and you gotta change and cool things happen. But the idea of like bringing community together, creating retreats or creating spaces for people to talk freely and openly, to share it with future generations, older generations, and just being able to like have that communication, I think is so exciting. So I really go from like, yeah, it'd be great as a book, but it's so much more cool when you talk about how could this possibly just transform the way we communicate, the way we show up, the way we show up to the world, and even maybe even changing the fabric and way which is aging is potentially seen outside of like whatever the norm is right now. Like that's cool. It'd be really cool to see people love us as we are without having to do much more than just be who we are. That is cool.
I love this conversation because I think we're, you're challenging how society is, how
Always.
institutions are built,
Always.
our assumptions, our mores, all different ways that we interact with people.
Yes.
And I find that, even I have a really tight group of close girlfriends that I've known for more than 30 years, and we really do kind of support each other and talk about what's going on, and not, again, not just the perimenopause and menopause of it all, but everything in life. And just saying, oh my gosh, when we're able to build stronger conversations and stronger connections with
Absolutely.
women, what we are able to create out of it is undeniable.
Absolutely, in multiple voices
Yeah.
and different perspectives and different cultures, and just bringing in the perspective outside of my own is fantastic. It's to me, it's like a circle and not a pyramid. I always see us being like interconnected in ways that creates this more of a community play than it's like trying to get to the race to the top. That's just not how this works in my life. So it's really about that, like, co-creation, or the idea of like seeing your place outside of yourself in a bigger scope. I think that's also how this feels very rich to me.
Yeah. I think in my career coaching resume practice, I'm working with people who are challenging not just only challenging their identity, but questioning, like, who am I? Am I purpose
Yeah.
now? What do I want to be doing? I don't want to manage anymore. I don't aspire to be the chief, whatever.
That's right.
And really having to say, how do I redesign my life right now with the kind of leveraging the experience I have. And but also knowing that how I view life today is so different than it was when I started architecting this plan.
Oh, yeah. It's so different, but it's so exciting. Like, there's a period of time where I feel like as I matured and started to see who I really was, it just became more beautiful and more bright, despite the fact that I have, so many perimenopause symptoms that it's just been almost debilitating. There is this really beautiful cultivating like your self-worth in ways that you'd never imagined is pretty spectacular, that you just didn't expect.
That gives me a sigh of relief knowing that that's out there for people. And I,
Hope so.
yeah, no, I listen, I have an amazing life, and I love that I've been able to bring, again, my resources and my time and my passions and things together to create something that I'm really enjoying and having fun with and think it has value. But it comes from being really confident in what I'm good at, what I'm not good
That's
at,
right.
setting boundaries, protecting boundaries. I tell people that's my superpower, is
Yeah.
setting and honoring my boundaries. But that comes through a lifetime of mistakes and
That's right.
stumbles and shame and all sorts of things along the way to be like, oh, finally, I'm feeling great in my own skin.
Yeah, and it's so freeing. Like, even the idea of like the amount of diets I've been on in my life, and now I'm not on any diets. I couldn't care. I don't give a shit. I'm gonna eat all the pizza. And it turns out, so I gained 10 pounds, big deal. I still look great, and I ate all the pizza. So there's a lot of things that just sort of shed. And I think that I just didn't expect that in midlife. And I think there was a lot of, I'm not gonna lie, like, it's been difficult too, and it's been hard to shed an old identity that I had really clung on to for a really long time. And so I'm still feel like I'm Bambi in my second part of my life. Like, I'm just this deer trying to walk in the forest, and it's very hard and confusing, but I do know that I feel more like myself. But it was definitely like a lot of challenges to get there. And I guess that's what makes things better, is that that experience and growth, of course, is going to be difficult, but it does have rewards with that type of change.
Oh, it does. I've loved this conversation, and I thank you so much for giving us your story as well as starting to talk about hot flash. And so I want to switch to the quicksand three and go through our
Yes.
questions, and then we're going to come back and I want you to share more about how people can find out more about you, more about hot flash and other exciting things.
Amazing.
So, first question is, what is a tip or technique that you use to get yourself motivated to do something you've been avoiding?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So, having experienced extreme anxiety through perimenopause, I can tell you that I had a lot of paralyzing moments of absolute fear. And I realized that what I needed to do and how I actually had to go through it was to actually do it. And that's the formula. It's like, yeah, I have the freak out, the moment when I'm like, I can't do it. I'm in anxiety mode. I'm stuck in this quicksand, and I just have to go and do it and go, hey, girl, like you got this. And at pep talk, I got to be the person I wanted to have growing up that would grab me and be like, we got this. And when you do it and you see that the scary monsters don't exist, and maybe you did make up a lot in your head and it wasn't so scary after all, it just would help me see that I can do it again and I can do difficult things. I can do difficult things, but I have to do it in order to do it. So I always have this crazy model. It's not that crazy, but my motto is you got to make it to make it. And I think that that's what this is all about. It's like, if I want the community and I want the change, I have to do it myself and I have to do it for me and for those around me. But truly, it's about action and aligned action for me. So, as scary as things can be, and believe me, I have had a lot of scary things I've had to do, lots. I think it was just doing it and the act of doing it in a way that felt real to me helped me be able to do it again and do more and do things that I didn't think I could. So, yeah, you just got to
That's
go.
nice
Jump. You
because,
just
and
got to jump.
it sounds like you were capable of learning from success, right? So often we talk about, oh, you have to learn from failure. I actually think it's more important that we learn from our successes because we can do so much more with that.
Yeah. I think so too. And you might think about, you might remember all of the hurt and you might remember the scary things or the things that were difficult. And you might think that that will happen again. But I think if you go back and you see, well, that was actually pretty awesome and honor those successes, you'll probably find that it's, I mean, it just helps and just makes life a little bit easier. So don't dwell on the negative.
Good.
Jump off the diving board.
Okay, next question. If skills and money and time and history and geography, all these things were not a factor, what's a career or job you might have liked to have tried?
I would have been an artist. I would have just painted and taken photographs and been a complete expression of my own creativity in ways that were not commercial. I'm super, super grateful that I still get to be creative and work in the industry I work in. But if money wasn't an issue, I would have just got my paintbrush and camera out and just gone full on art mode. That's what
Love
I would have done for sure.
it. And last question, when life gets chaotic, what is a way that you recharge or hit the reset button?
I go out for a walk in the nature. It is has to be a nature situation. Spend some time looking at the ocean, spend some time hugging a tree. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it really helps me ground. If I go for a walk and I listen to the birds and the wind rustling, it really makes me remember, you know, this is a really big world. I'm just a little tiny girl in this big, big world, and it keeps me grounded and I actually feel amazing. I would say it's even more of a tool than even the meditation and breath work I've done in the past. I think it's really about getting out there and having solo time in the woods, in the beach, and just taking it all in. It's definitely helps me tremendously to be one with the earth.
Where is it? Where do you have a favorite place that
I
is?
do.
Yeah, where's that?
Well, it depends on where I am. If
Okay.
I'm in Los Angeles, I absolutely love Griffith Park. I walk to the top of it. I have conversations with the birds and the wind, and I'm just like in awe of the beauty. It's so beautiful. It gives me so much joy to be there. And if I'm in Canada, I go to the beach. My parents live on an island in Vancouver Island, and they have this beautiful ocean outside, and I just spend time talking to the ocean, and that is just gives me so much life. So that's very cold and rainy and like wet. And then I go right straight to the desert, and that also gives me so much joy and awesome. And like the sun and everything. So it depends because I'm a bit of a both girl because
Love
I'm
it. Well, and it sounds
dip in
like
and out.
in this phase of life, you still have access to both, which is great.
I'm so lucky.
Great. Thank you so much. Tell
Thank
me
you.
and tell my viewers and listeners if they want to learn more about you, about your branding business, about Hot Flash, what should they know?
Absolutely. So on Instagram, you can find me personally at Rihanna Time. That's Rihanna Time. It's like hammer time if you're old and you understand, but better because it's me. And Hot Flash right now is Hot Flash Meg on Instagram, but you can find it at hotflashmeg.com. and RiannaTime.com, and also SuperBonjour.com is my branding company as well. So I do all things all the time, but that's how you find me on my socials and on web.
Well, that's great. I'll put all that in the show notes. And I did want to make sure that Super Bonjour got kind of a shout out at the end, because there may be people who are listening who say, you
That's
know what,
right.
my business could probably use somebody fresh to talk to. So if they're
Yes.
hearing your approach and saying that feels fresh, I hope they think of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Rihanna@superbonjour.com. That's
Great.
how you get me
Good.
there.
Good. Thank you so much for your time. It was so great to talk to you and
Oh,
introduce you to my
likewise.
watchers.
Thank you so much, Kathy. It was a pleasure to meeting you, and I hope your viewers and watchers get a little something something from this.
No doubt. Bye.
Bye.
I love Rihanna's energy. Ever since I've gotten to know her, we have just such fun collaborative conversations, and I was so excited to kind of bring that to you. And I mean, can you even imagine building a magazine from scratch in 2026? Like it's just something I could never even imagine doing, but clearly for her, it feels like an embodiment of life's work. And I'm so excited for what she will do and create and bring to so many lives with this. And I hope you're like me and you're hitting the website and hitting the Instagram so that you're learning more and going to be able to experience Hot Flash and everything that Rihanna is trying to bring people like us. Thanks for being here.